Welcome to the Red Card District. This is our Group F preview. Joining us today is a phenomenal Aaron West. Thanks for joining us, Aaron.
Thank you for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
Yes, yes. So we got a lot to talk about in
Almost
this
too much.
Group. Almost too much.
Yes.
This is a group headlined by Argentina.
Lionel Messi. It's headlined by Lionel Messi.
By Lionel Messi. Well, I think that's selling Argentina a little bit too short to say that. But
well,
get
he's
into
too
that.
Short, so we'll sell that.
Oh,
so,
man. We're starting in on the Messi jokes early, huh?
So like Messi, this group needs some human growth hormone to get it off. But yeah, let's get into Argentina. Start at the top, right? Aaron, who do you think is going to be the key man outside of Lionel Messi to make an impact for Argentina at the tournament?
100% Angel Di Maria. We saw it with Real Madrid this year. He was kind of their joker, their ace in the hole. He kind of pushed them through a lot of difficult situations. His endless running, his end product. I used to not really rate Di Maria as highly. Kind of saw him as a chicken run around with his head cut off. But yeah. He's definitely improved on pretty much all facets of his game. I think for them to be able to be successful, they don't have the strongest back line. They have a good enough back line to go on and win it, which is they are my pick. I'll give you that early.
Mine as well.
But I think with his running, his harrying, his end product, and his ability on the ball, I think he's their key player aside from Messi.
Yeah, I think he really got a kick up the ass, so to speak, with I think that one of the best things that could have happened to him in Argentina was Real Madrid signing Gareth Bale, because that really put his position under duress. And that, you know, a lot of people thought he would be on his way out of Real Madrid once that signing was made. And he really, you know, took a hold of that challenge and used that to raise his game to see, you know, we're really seeing the best that we've seen from him this past season. And you could say a lot of that has to do with the pressure added of, you know, seeing that his place was in jeopardy at Real Madrid.
I think when Ozil left, and basically Ancelotti apparently got the choice between both of them, and he chose Di Maria to stay and Ozil to be sold, I think that had a big impact on Di Maria. And I think he felt like Ancelotti trusted him to play both those positions, both the left wing and a bit of the box-to-box and the central attacking midfield role. So that's made him play much, much better in very different areas, you know. We see him as more of an all-rounder now.
Well, yeah, and certainly his position has shifted a little bit. You know, we used to only really see him on the wing, and the way he's been able to drop into the hole, I think we're going to see that really utilized by this Argentina side, because, you know, Messi's given such a bit of a free role to roam through, and you're going to see a lot of interchanging between them. You know, that's what many of us would think.
Yeah, they don't have the Xavi style of deep-lying or Pirlo deep-lying midfielder, so they're going to have Di Maria and Messi trying to do all the creative work.
Aaron, how do you see their front line lining up? Like, who do you see in terms of personnel? Do you see Lovetzi starting? Do you see Di Maria? Do you see Higuain, Aguero? What do you see it lining up?
I actually think Higuain will end up starting from the bench. We've seen Lovetzi and Messi seem to have a very good chemistry. I think Kun Aguero, if he's healthy, will also be in the starting lineup. But those kind of Aguero, Lovetzi, and Messi kind of just interchanging with three of them, with Di Maria coming in to provide that the most running. But yeah, I think Higuain will start from the bench. That I'm not the biggest expert on the Argentine side, but I think he'll come off the bench, and that's not a bad option to have
Yeah, it's been interesting because we haven't really seen him too much in these last couple friendlies. I mean, he was suffering from flu or something. You know, there was some kind of ailment. It wasn't physical, but he was sick, and so they kept him out. But generally, I mean, from what we've seen from them in major tournaments and even earlier in the build-up, like during qualifying, they still played with Higuain spearheading the attack. So it'd be interesting to see if they switch from that. But the thing is, they have an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, they really do.
I mean, I don't know. As far as you go, I mean, I think they have the deepest front line and the most, you know, the most lethal strikers, you know, in terms
and
of options.
And wingers.
I mean, look, they're able to leave off Carlos Tevez from this roster, who, you know, played so well for your Juventus this season, you know, and would arguably make it into just about every other World Cup squad, and he's an afterthought.
And Palacios wouldn't, so it's a...
You know, with those, I think there has something to do also with character and with personalities. Yeah. You know, I think Palacios is, you know, understands his role as being kind of
fourth man.
The last option on the bench, but I'm sure he's happy to be going to the World Cup, whereas I don't know how happy Tevez would be playing second, third, fourth fiddle to these others. Whether that's valid or not.
Let's not rule Palacios out as a very viable option. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you I hate Inter more than anyone in the world, but Palacios is forever been a thorn in the side for whatever team he's played for. He just scores goals. He works for the team. He's good on the ball, and he produces. So I don't think we can just brush Palacios off as the end of the bench. But I think he might actually see some significant. He might make a difference in a couple of these games.
Yeah, he certainly could. It's just the only reason we can push him so far down the bench is that he's got four world-class or just below strikers ahead of him. I mean, when you say it's like, oh, the rest of the front line is Agüero, Higuain, Messi.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, it's certainly, if there's any way to it's not really a slight because most strikers on any other team would still be that in that spot in the pecking order. But yeah, they have an embarrassment of riches up front. We see Kun Agüero, who I thought, I mean, in the first half of the season before he, you know, went through some injuries, I thought it was a toss-up between Agüero and Suarez for Premier League player of the season. You know, he, in terms of when he's been fit, he's been as on form as nearly any striker in the world.
He's been amazing.
And yeah, I mean, these guys have so much to prove, you know. I really enjoy seeing Mascherano back at defensive midfield. You know, I mean, mostly just because of size. I mean, he has the tenacity and everything to play at center back.
But he's tiny.
But he doesn't really have the build for it. I mean, and we saw, you know.
Barcelona and corners, they don't survive with him. So.
But it's good to see him. So we're looking to see probably like a double pivot or an axis of Mascherano and Gago. You know, Gago's kind of been not on the radar as much as he was since he no longer plays such a high profile club. But
I for the life of me don't see how Gago is starting for this team. It still blows my mind.
Maybe he's one of those players that's gonna like be revitalized through this summer.
Well, maybe he's the Kleberson type for like the Brazil. Like he just does all the dirty work and doesn't complain. So I don't know. We'll see.
For me, there's a couple questions about this team. I mean, we have questions about their back line. I think with Garay and Fernandez as their center back pairing is okay. We'll see if Di Michaelis gets in. Di Michaelis is always a question mark. I mean, granted, he was good enough in the run-in for Manchester City for them to win the title.
At the end, he was excellent.
That was the best string of form I think I've seen him play, except for
most of the season.
A couple of years ago at Bayern Munich where he put it together, you know, at certain times. But, I mean, he does have the experience. And they got Rojo on one side and Zabaleta on the right. For me, the other big question mark is Romero in goal. He doesn't really fill me with confidence, you know. He doesn't come across as a World Cup winning goalkeeper to me, and that's really the only position
maybe
where I really say that. I mean, hopefully they'll do well enough to where it won't matter. But I mean, they're coming in on I don't know if it's their best ever, but they're on a fantastic defensive streak. They haven't let in a goal in over 500 something minutes. We were watching their last friendly, and yeah, they're pushing towards 600 minutes of without conceding a goal, which is not something that is synonymous with the Argentinian team. We know them for having such a prolific attack, but being so, you know, so tight at the back is not something we expect from them. If they can continue that form with everything at their disposal, I think the other team should be quite scared.
I have them losing at the semis.
Well, we'll get to predictions in a bit. We already know where Aaron and I stand on here. We're seeing them going all the way.
I keep telling you, if Argentina win at Brazil, everyone will die. So
this guy was saying,
well, I don't think if Argentina wins, it'll be as bad as a lot of people think. Number one, Argentina is literally right there. So every game they play, unless they play against Brazil, is basically a home game for them. Also, with all the unrest in Brazil and with as much as Brazilians hate the Brazilian FA, I just read a statistic, I don't know, yesterday or today, a lot of Brazilians are actually pulling for Argentina to win just because they hate the FA so much for the country. So I don't think it'll be nearly as bad as people think.
Well, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we were speaking with we had Deborah on to preview Brazil, Deb Ferreira on to talk
She's
about
from
it,
and
she was saying that there's a lot of people speaking out saying that kind of stuff right now, but she had the feeling that once the tournament got going,
they'll be after.
That, you know, they'll change, and also, you know, being an American, being from Los Angeles, I know about front runner fans. You know, people like to latch on to things that do well. So if Brazil is doing well,
front runner fans in Los Angeles,
no way. Oh, it's the worst, man. Some of the
they were only in Miami.
Well, you know, they certainly give us a run for our money. I think if they had anywhere near the population we had, they would outdo us exponentially. But I mean, I regularly see cars flying around with decals with like USC, New York Yankees, and Manchester United all on the back of some fucking Land Cruiser cruising through LA. I don't know. There's people that, you know, but you know, success brings fans. You know, if they come through and play, if Brazil come through and play well in the group stage, people will gather around and get behind it. And that was her idea. I mean, there certainly will be a staunch amount of people who are mad enough at everything going on. They will not be supporting the team. But at really, all,
yeah. But they weren't going to watch football anyway.
But really, I think other people that have just been kind of more apathetic will probably get behind them because, you know, in the sense of the possibility of them winning a World Cup in their home nation, it'd be so hard not to get swept up into that, really. I mean, especially if you're really a football fan, how are you not going to get behind your team in that kind of situation?
I think people will have, like, fuck Sepp Blatter photos around the TV and still watch it and feel like,
well, I think everybody should have fuck Sepp Blatter photos on the TV. We should have protests at every match. We should have face masks.
And like quiet protest and like just insulting FIFA, you know?
I think they should do just like some kind of really degrading demonstrations in the stands. Everyone wearing Sepp Blatter masks and doing at least faking degrading acts.
We could have them like a picture of him and then what's the really fat thing from Star Wars?
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. He'd be good Jabba.
Yeah, he'd be great.
A Jabba suit. Jabba. But who the fuck is going to wear a Jabba suit in Brazil?
Dude, it's already like 100 degrees.
So Photoshop.
We should put you there. You'll lose weight, man.
You'll
sweat it out.
I'll sweat it out.
We're gonna put Beck in a Jabba suit and put a Sepp Blatter mask on him. And you
I'll get
sweat
beaten
out.
Up. I'll die. I'll die you like
get
two
beat
seconds.
To shit.
That's you're a good way to lose weight.
Yeah, that'd be resilient.
Good way to die as well.
You run around.
Fed through a tube, you definitely will lose weight.
Exactly. Once your jaw gets busted and someone thinks you're Sepp the Hutt. Blatter the Hutt. Oh, dear. Well, I digress.
The artwork for this episode.
Yeah. Damn it. I wish I was better at Photoshop. We're going to have to hire someone real quick.
Yeah.
That'd be really good. Well, let's move on to the next team. We'll get back to Argentina's chances once
Bosnia
we read
Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Bosnia. Now they have. Now this is a team that this is their first ever World Cup appearance.
Yes.
And most teams on their maiden voyage are only there really to try to make a little splash and maybe gain a couple points. But when you look at this squad, you know, they have a lot of talent. Alex, who do you think is going to be their? Who thinks going to be their impact players?
I think their best player, based on pure ability, is Pjanic. He's had an amazing season at Roma and. Every time I've seen him play, he's been excellent. I mean, Aaron, you've probably seen him play more than I have.
Absolutely, yeah. He kind of spearheaded Roma's resurgence this season. He was absolutely brilliant. Give a shout to Roma for pushing it to the end or close to the end. But unfortunately, he couldn't shoulder the whole load.
How many points was behind Roma, behind Juventus?
It was double digits, I believe.
It was double digits at the end, but they gave him a good run. I mean, they put together a damn good run this season. I mean, in terms of the football they played, it was really good seeing Roma.
Compared to last season, I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, if it weren't for Roma, who the fuck would have challenged Juventus this season? No one else was anywhere close. So at least I think they helped push Juve to be better this season.
They had to.
For sure.
Especially towards the end.
Yeah, they did. They did for sure.
Well, their run. Didn't they start Serie A with like 10 matches in a row winning? Didn't they start off some?
I think they won 9 out of their first 10, something like that. Yeah. It was absolutely ridiculous. They just didn't look like they were slowing down.
They threw down the gauntlet, which is probably in turn helped Juve set their points total record, right?
Absolutely. If Roma wasn't pushing the way they were, I don't think they would have broken that record.
Because you would have focused on Europe more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even maybe they should have focused on Europe more, but that's for a different podcast.
That's for a different day.
And we'll have you on to talk Serie A.
If you
want to
see me get angry, we'll talk about that for a while.
I was really mad about that myself as well, but we digress. So, yeah, so Pjanic certainly will be one of their main creators through the middle. I think we have to give some credit to Edin Dzeko, who has been kind of – everyone's kind of expected him over the past two seasons to become the odd man out at City, but yet he has found some resilience. And, you know, he didn't play. I don't think he was a little bit at odds with Mancini. I mean, I'm not going to blame him. He seems like a guy that might be a little tough to get along with.
He has been key to both their title wins.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Every City fan can see that.
At scoring goals right when everyone's like, oh, Dzeko's out of here, he's out of here. And then he'll pop up and score a couple important goals. And
some are brilliant goals as well.
Yeah, I mean, he scored what? He scored in the final game of the season when they won in 2012, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I think he scored the equalizer.
He scored the equalizer, and then Aguero scored the winner right after.
He helped set up the...
I think he had the assist or something, or the knockdown on Aguero's. Yeah. Yeah. And then, he did it again this season. I mean, he scored big goals in the last couple matches to seal up the Premier League title.
He's the reason why Negredo isn't in the Spain team.
Well, that Negredo had injuries, too. Mm. I mean, it was a combination. I don't know, with still Bosque being loyal to fucking Fernando Torres, I was a huge fan of Fernando Torres, but he should not be at the World Cup. I don't know. But Dzeko, I mean, to have a guy like him at spearheading your attack, a guy who has been a 30-goal season striker, you know, I remember when he was with Wolfsburg. I mean, he killed
Wolfsburg,
it.
He was killing it.
Absolutely, as the leading man. But, you know, they've got a lot of talent, you know. There's Lulic in midfield. They've got Ibisevic alongside him in attack.
They've got Sahic.
Spakic,
a defender linked with Arsenal too many times.
Yeah, and they've got Asmir Begovic, the keeper for Stoke, who put in a good shift.
For sure. I think we're going to see a little bit of a different side for Eddie and Dzeko. And watching a few of their games, he's not just a poacher for Bosnia and Herzegovina.
He's a talisman as well.
Yeah, he kind of takes on the leading role, a little bit more of a Drogba-esque role where he drags the team forward. And I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch. I think they're everybody's favorite dark horse next to Belgium. But I have them going out in the quarterfinals. But I think they're definitely going to make a lot of noise. They're one of the teams I have pegged to be the most fun to watch.
Interesting. Yeah, I expect them to do well. So if you see them going out in the quarterfinals, I guess we'll get back to this. But so you see them beating the Group E winners, don't you? Interesting. Well, we'll get to those predictions shortly.
France. You see them beating France.
We'll get there. but yes, I mean, so,
I have some curveballs for you guys.
Yeah, we got some curveballs. I like it. We need a little bit. We've had a few too many times lately in these group previews where everyone's been agreed across the board.
Yeah, that's not agreeing.
I mean, granted, talking about the French group was pretty fucking easy. It's like they're in there with a bunch of nobodies. They're going to win this group. So they've got a lot of talent. They've played quite well through qualifying, and you know, from everything I've heard, I mean, the atmosphere, the team, the fans have all been very passionate, very dedicated, and it looks like they're going to go out there and give a really good fight. Yeah. So, in this group, you got to like their chances.
I think they're going to have one of the best debuts of the World Cups we've seen in the last like 10, 20 years.
It helps getting a bit of a powder puff group. Speaking of powder puff, let's get to these other teams.
Okay.
Well, let's start with Nigeria.
Okay.
Because Nigeria has a long-standing history with Argentina. Travis wrote about that for us for the Red Card District, talking about it. I'm sure it's a little bit painful for him because, you know, at least in every World Cup meeting, they have lost since they faced each other in 1994.
And they've lost horrifically. Like, they've lost in sad ways, as he writes.
Yeah. And, you know, the only wins they had, I think they've beaten them twice, but only in friendlies, and no one gives a shit about that. So, you know, it's kind of tough for them. The Super Eagles, you know, have qualified, and they won. Did they win the Cup of Nations?
When was the last Cup of Nations they won?
Last year, I don't know. Anyways, they won recently, but the team that they have,
2013, yes.
The team that they have has got an interesting mix. I mean, we saw them. I don't know, Aaron, if you saw their friendly against the United States, they did not look so.
I did see it. They looked awful, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did not look very good.
Did you see their game with with Scotland as well?
No, I did not.
I missed that one.
They finished 2-2 with a beautiful own goal.
A beautiful own goal. Fantastic. Well, I mean, they obviously have some attacking talent on the pitch. They've got Victor Moses. They got Emenike. They got Odemwingie. I mean, not that he's anything that special. But, you know, but there is talent on the pitch. The question is, can they put it together and play together to really make an impact in this tournament? You know, you've got John Obi Mikel kind of running the midfield, but I don't know. I mean, he's as decent as a footballer he is, he's never really impressed me that much for Chelsea.
I think Nigeria are the weakest African team in this World Cup.
You think so?
Yes.
Interesting.
I might agree with you on that, actually.
Travis is going to cry so many tears.
Cameron, he's already crying his tears.
No wonder he didn't join us for this preview. He's busy crying. He knows how terrible Nigeria are.
He's fully aware. I was on Twitter when Ghana was playing the other day, and he was just crying that they were so good right now. They look so good, and he's stuck with this poor Nigeria.
The great thing about being an African American, especially if you know exactly which African country, if it's like second gen or first gen, is that you can choose at the World Cup which African country you support if they're there, and American state team. And like most Americans will just pretend they're Nigerian fans until Nigeria gets knocked out, and they'll be like, USA, USA, USA. That's always been the case. So.
Well, the sad thing is I don't know if the USA is going to make it any further than Nigeria.
But that's because of the group. Because USA are a better team than Nigeria on paper, and recent performances have proved so.
And they played just a couple days ago.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I can firmly state my dislike for the Nigerian team. I'm kind of partial to Ivory Coast. I'm also one of those African Americans who has no idea where I'm from. But I will always say it. I'm forever a Holland fan, Hope Holland. But we don't really have much of a positive outlook this World Cup either. But
certainly lower.
That's a story for another day.
Certainly lower expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so this Nigeria team is going to need some sort of spark. They're going to have to hope it comes from someone like Victor Moses. You know, I really don't expect Odemwingie to really be the guy to do too much. But I mean, to be fair, I mean, this group is relatively open because they're going to be facing. I mean, let's face it, we're going to talk about Iran right now, but I don't think many of us know more than two, maybe three players on that team.
And even that, it's just.
I mean, so it's going to come down to. It's really going to come down to how they fare. If we say Argentina is going to run the table. Potentially, it's just going to come down to if they can get a result against. I mean, look, if they get a draw against Bosnia, and you know, Bosnia are this is a debut campaign. They're not really used to the kind of weather that they're going to be dealing with. If they can get a draw against them, I think it'll depend on who whips Iran more. You know, and it's not like Nigeria can't score goals.
It's about their defensive shape and how hard they work for each other, and how like they might end up being like very 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 dirty and. But I don't know. I think Nigeria don't have the skill across the pitch to combat against. I mean, against Argentina, it's going to be a difficult game, and against Bosnia, if Bosnia are on form, then I don't see them getting a point. And Iran, like we don't know much about them, but we could see Nigeria in bottom of the group if Iran play well against them as well. So.
It certainly could happen. It's not without the realm of possibility. Iran qualified. You know, they played decently through qualification. I mean, I've got a couple of Iranian friends who, you know, have tried to big up their team. They don't really have big expectations. Carlos Quiroz, former Portugal manager,
the former Alex Ferguson, side manager.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got Gucci Mane as his lead striker up top. the striker.
Do we know if he gets to wear his diamonds while he plays?
We can only hope. We got to see what they do. But that's kind of risky in Brazil. He's going to be held up by gunpoint on the pitch.
Waka before he enters the pitch. So every time he enters the pitch, he's going to tweet Waka Flocka. So that's what's going to happen.
So how do you pronounce his last name? It's Gucci Hanehad. What?
Gucci. I would say his name is Reza Gucci Hanehad.
Gucci Hanehad.
Since he is our resident Arabic speaker, I'm going to give him credit.
Even though
it's not Arabic. Well, I know, but I just feel that gives you a
little
more expertise.
That's racist.
I don't say, can you speak French because all right. Spanish and
well,
French
look,
close to
you're Iraqi, and that's pretty close to Iran, so I'm going to give you the
My
proximity.
Different.
Okay. Shit, I just outed him on U.S. soil.
Immigration, ignore.
They're outside the door already.
Can't smell them. Jesus. Loki would be all over it.
La migra viene.
This guy's funny. I introduced him as a Norwegian. He's like, and someone called him European. He's like, no one's ever called me European. Well, we're introducing you as fucking Norwegian. What do you want me to tell everyone you're Iraqi? Is that what you want?
Pick one.
I can't choose, man. I'll have to choose the good side of each one.
But so, anyways, yeah, so
you work with girls.
Yeah, that's how I work with them.
Gucci Hanehad. Something like that.
Gucci.
Gucci up front. He's not the youngest of strikers. He's, I think he's 26, but he's performed well for Iran. I mean, granted, that might have to do with the fact that their qualifying isn't too tough and who they played. But he has 9 goals and 13 appearances, which is, you know, a fantastic record.
I mean,
for
if
any
you look at the teams around that area that Iran plays, I would say That's a decent figure, but they do play.
A decent figure? What? A decent figure?
Yeah.
Scoring in like 75% of your matches is a decent figure?
In the Asian CONCACAF qualifications.
Well, you can only score against the teams you face, you know? You got to beat the opponent in front of you.
Most of the guys in those teams are builders and
so I'm sorry Messi would have scored 20 in those 13 30. Appearances. 30? Okay. A striker that scores at a rate of more than a goal every other game is doing quite well, regardless of the opposition.
I'm
so
sure
let's give him a little bit of credit.
Iran. I'm sure he does.
He has scored against South Korea. We can give him that.
Oh, okay. Shit. Yeah, he did. Well, so we have – I mean, their most high-profile player is Dejaga, who played his trade for Fulham.
A relegated Fulham.
Relegated Fulham. But he was one of their few bright spots at certain moments during the tournament. What do you think about him? You think he's going to make an impact, Alex?
I think – that he is so ugly that he will make the greatest impact for Iran at the World Cup.
He will scare the shit out of opposition.
He will make dogs cry. So that's what he's going to do. The thing is, he's one of those. He's their best player. He's the one that's most known as well. Him and Tamarian, and he's going to provide the bright sparks. He's not really that fast, but he plays as a winger for them. So he's more of a creative winger, if I can call him that.
I suppose you can.
Yeah.
Guys, we can't forget Nekunam, who played in Spain for a while.
Who?
I actually
all right, break him down for us. Yeah. He's their captain.
I actually completely forgot him when we talked about Iran in the pre-podcast pep talk. That's a nice little tongue twister. But Nekunam played for Osasuna, and I had forgotten about that. He played there for, I think, around 6 years. And he's kind of a deep lying playmaker from what I remember. Passer. He's their captain as well.
He's been playing alongside Tamarian. Probably as the double pivot, the two of them.
All right, so he had a spell at Osasuna for 6 years.
Yeah, he did well there.
Yeah, right. 24 goals from in 149 appearances from deep in the midfield.
He's had 140 apps for Iran. Wow.
Yeah, doesn't matter what the level of the national team. If you've played in some major tournaments and you've played 140 matches, you're probably pretty solid.
Yeah.
And he keeps it ticking over for him. In the one match I've seen, he gets on the ball pretty well. But that's about the extent of my Nekunam knowledge and my Iranian knowledge. So I've given you everything I've got.
Fair enough. Well, let's get to our previews. We've already talked about a little bit what we expect from this group. But, Aaron, give me your rundown of how these teams will finish, first through fourth.
I believe it will be Argentina, Bosnia, Nigeria, and Iran. I think Argentina kind of skates through it. The game against Bosnia will be pretty interesting to watch. I believe it is the second match in the group?
Positive.
Actually, yeah, I'm not 100%. I think it's the first, actually. It might be the very first match in the group, so that'll be a ton of fun to watch. I think Bosnia comes out of that group behind Argentina. Sorry, Nigeria. Sorry, Iran. I don't think Iran will be too disappointed, but Nigeria is just – it's not your year.
When has it been their year?
Indeed. I'm gonna go with you, but just so we have a little bit of variance here. I'm gonna go with Iran coming in third and Nigeria falling flat with
the sad thing is, I don't see Bosnia not coming second unless they have make two or three big mistakes and get sent off like horribly. So I'm gonna be boring and say Argentina, Bosnia, Iran, and Nigeria lost. So
fair enough. And so where do you see these two teams that are coming out of this group? How far do you see them going, Aaron?
Yeah, for Argentina, I actually have going all the way and winning against Brazil, which we talked a little bit about, I think, before. I think it'll be really interesting to see the level of support for Argentina in this World Cup, basically almost playing at home, neighboring countries. But Bosnia, I think, will surprise a lot of people. I have them beating France in the second round and then going out to Germany. But I don't think Germans should be super confident about that match either. Bosnia will, for sure, with a lot of their players coming from the Bundesliga, they'll all be super up for that match should they make it that far. And I don't think it's a given that Germany wins. So, but I do have them going out to Germany.
Bold predictions. I like it, Aaron.
Yeah. I'm throwing it out there this World Cup, man.
Be afraid, you frogs. Yeah, they're coming for the French.
The Bosnian players are very adaptable because a lot of them are second generation and they've moved because of war. So a lot of them have grown up abroad in different countries and they're used to different climates and different expectations. So I think they'll do well. I don't know if they'll beat France. That'll be interesting. A lot of people will cry, especially French people.
The problem with France is that they're very similar to Italy to me. They can either go out in the group stage or they can win it. So depending on which France we get for this World Cup, it'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah, Deschamps might totally bomb it, the tactics and stuff. Like, they could have a 2002 World Cup, France could.
Well, we were just talking about France on the other podcast. Yeah, so let's get back to these teams. So where do you see these guys going, Alex? Where do you see, if you see those finishing out, where do you see Argentina finishing and where do you see Bosnia?
I see Argentina either losing at the semis or the final.
Okay.
Against Brazil. And I see Bosnia reaching as far as losing against France before the quarters. So, but they'll make the last 16.
All right. Well, I'm with you on that. I expect Bosnia to reach France, and I think it's a bit of a toss up there. I'm gonna give the edge to France just because of being a little bit more of a proven, quantity at the time. But I mean, who knows? We'll see how, these opinions might change once you see their form in the tournament. But
if they don't play Koscielny, they can win. Bosnia can beat them.
Yeah, if you're playing with Sako at the back,
yeah,
that's we shall see. A left side of the defense.
You guys are Sako haters?
No, I'm not a Sako hater. I just don't like, he looks a little bit too uncomfortable on the ball in possession, and he's just a little too prone to something. And you got to think he's got at least one howler in him for this tournament. I was a fan of Sako. I thought even a couple of years ago,
especially before he moved to Liverpool, I was a big fan of him.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see what they do. And where do you see Argentina go? You see Argentina losing in the finals?
Yeah, you see them winning.
Yeah, I see them winning. I see them winning. That's my pick, and I guess I'm sticking with it. I think before the tournament, I was thinking that I might want to go with Germany, but the loss of Royce, and then it's just so hard for me to pick against a South American team, in South America. I know someone brought up the point that, well, there hasn't been a tournament down there since, 1970 or something?
Yeah.
So it's been a long time, and it's tough to use those statistics against them. Even now, because so much has changed since 1970, but really, this will nearly be this is as close to a home World Cup as they're going to get, and this is Leo Messi's tournament to shine. I think when we get down to looking at that team, there is so much talent across the pitch for them. It seems they've sorted out some of the defensive stability that they needed, and you have a guy like Leo Messi who is 26, going to be 27, right, and. Really, you got to think this is his best chance to win a World Cup. I mean, this is when he's in his prime. This is when he's still...
it's not just his prime. I mean, Zabaleta, Garay, Demichelis, and Hernandez, and even Rojo, they're all coming off great years with their clubs, So, I mean, Zabaleta looks like he's had his finest season in a while.
Yeah, and they have Aguero firing it in. They got Higuain killing it. They played quite well at Napoli. I mean,
and Mascherano playing his favorite position. So.
Yeah, and he's back in midfield. But I mean, I think specifically, we talk about the biggest players make the difference on the biggest stage. And Messi has every single reason to be super motivated for this tournament because for the first time in years, he didn't win the best player in the world. He missed out to Cristiano Ronaldo. He hasn't really lost his seat as being considered the best player in the world, I think, because people's opinion change. Like when you get out of the limelight and you're injured for a couple months, it's easier for people to forget about you. And so Cristiano obviously had the better season. I'm still of the mind that I prefer Messi over Ronaldo myself, but I think those two are on a class on their own that if either one of them were playing,
they have been for the last 4 years.
Longer than that, really.
5 years, yeah.
Longer than that, really. And you have every single motivation ever for Messi to come out and impose his will in this tournament, because
the only reason I don't think Argentina will win is the World Cup is because they don't have a Riquelme type. If Di Maria can do something similar to Riquelme, it's very, very difficult. Then they have a good chance of winning.
Yeah, and it's just they have all the tools they need. The question is whether or not they're going to execute. And people have been slighting Messi for a long time, and this guy is someone who already goes down as one of the greatest ever.
Yeah,
as it stands. There is the one thing. The only disclaimer right now is that he hasn't won a World Cup. And many of the best players never won a World Cup, but it helps cement your place at the top of the pantheon.
Yeah.
Look, he wins this at 26 And he's already done so much. Yeah. No, I mean, he's already the best player ever if he does that.
People hold this against him. That's what you're saying.
People will hold it against him. Anyone will, you know, you have to get rid of these quantifiers. Yeah, Ronaldo's going to have to deal with the same thing when Portugal doesn't get out of their fucking group. So we'll see. But that's for our next preview. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I really think this is Messi's tournament to shine. It seems like he's back to full fitness. He's got a lackluster season at Barcelona to make up for. You know, he wants to get that cred back. And look, I mean, what better scenario for him than, you know, than
lackluster is him scoring less than a goal every game.
I know. He still killed it. I mean, people talk about his shit form and it's like, well, he still did quite well. It's just when you score at a godly rate and, you know, was it 2013 or 2012 where he scored in the calendar year, he scored 70 something goals, some shit.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely insane. I mean, he puts up, it's like you're playing on fucking FIFA, you know, he puts up insane numbers that are just completely unrealistic. But I mean, that's the thing.
He scored 41 in 46 last season.
Yep.
That's lackluster.
Well, that's the season before, and that's not this season.
Yes, it was. That's this season.
Yeah, he did score 41 in 46.
And look at that. That's lackluster for him.
That's a bad season.
Hold on. I mean, look, compared to that, he scored 60, 73, 53, and 47 before. You have to go back to 2008, 2009, where he scored 38. You know, imagine.
What a shit year.
He had a better season this year than he did in 2008.
Right. I know. I'm saying that's how far back you have to go from.
And that's
to have
the injuries and being lackluster.
Right. And that's not even counting. That's only for Barcelona. That's not for Argentina. So that's not saying it's cumulative goals.
That's true.
Impressive. Yeah, in 2012, 12 goals for Argentina.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, so he's kind of. He sets the bar differently, but that's the thing. He's setting a new standard.
I think it's taken time to give everything to Messi, you know, because four to five, six years ago, it wasn't always about Messi.
Well, it was. I think Maradona tried to play through him as well, but I mean, Maradona's not. Let's, you know, he's better for sound bites. I don't know about him and his tactics. You know, for a player that relied on his instinct and his skill, you know, he didn't work on team format. You know, I mean, he's quite the character, but I wouldn't call him the master tactician. Well, anyways, it's going to be a very exciting group. I think, Bosnia is going to be a good team to watch in this tournament. Argentina, obviously, one of the favorites. Aaron and my picks to win it all. And it's going to be exciting, man. We've got a lot to see from these guys, and it's going to be a fantastic tournament, hopefully. It all starts tomorrow. Get ready. Get your popcorn. Get ready. Well, anyways, you can follow Aaron on Twitter. Is it @E_Fenomeno? F-E-N-O.
It's O_.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No, O_Fenomeno. Sorry. O_Fenomeno86.
O_Fenomeno86. O_Fenomeno86.
Showing his age.
86. Yeah, what's wrong
I put it right there so everyone knows I'm old from the start.
That's old. Hey, man. Hey, we're still in our 20s. It's not old. Once we cross over that threshold, it'll be a different story. But there's no reason to you know, walk the plank yet. Anyways, it's been fun, man. Thank you for joining us, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Well, anyway, so we'll be back with our next preview tomorrow, and we'll be ready to go and get ready for the tournament. So until then, we will be keeping it real here on the Red Card District and look for more previews. Hopefully we can have you back during the tournament, Aaron, to break down some action. As well as, we didn't get a prediction for the Azzurri. What do you think they're going to do? You wrote our piece.
Tell us about
it. I almost forgot that. How do you think it will do? Well, just a quick abbreviated version. I know it's a lot, but
no worries. I have Italy coming in second in their group and going out to Brazil in the quarters.
Hmm. Interesting. So, who would you see them facing in the round of 16? Offhand,
Japan and beating Japan. That's who. Okay. Japan is my Group C winner.
Wow.
Japan is my Group Bold C winner prediction. With Colombia coming in second.
If they face Colombia, do you see them beating Colombia? Because, I mean, I think more people would predict Colombia to win that group. Do you see Italy beating Colombia if that were to happen?
I do, honestly. I think Colombia has a very strong team. I actually am really excited to see how they do in this World Cup. I have them losing to Uruguay. Mm. But with the amount of not only just athleticism, but creativity in that team, it's a very underrated team, in my opinion. I think there are a lot of people's dark horses, but Colombia has a lot of athleticism, but a lot of athletic players with creativity. I don't think Radamel Falcao will be as big of a miss for people for Colombia as they think. They still got an incredible team. They've got a little fella named Jackson Martinez just waiting to show the world what he can do. He's done it a few times in Champions League already, but I think this is his time to shine, especially with Falcao gone.
Should be looking good.
Group C is actually the toughest one for me to predict. I've waffled a lot between Colombia, Japan, and Ivory Coast, and in any of that combination that comes out of that group wouldn't surprise me. But I did. I mean, obviously, when you pick someone, you have to pick. So I picked Japan and Colombia to come out. Japan will surprise a lot of teams. But
yeah, they've got good
that Colombia team. Yeah, they've got a really good technical team that always incredibly fit.
You see Italy going out against Brazil
in the quarters.
Yeah. In the quarters, I've got Italy going out, and then Brazil making it to the final and losing to Argentina.
So obviously, Italy have a lot of talent through the squad. But if you were to give people one or two names of players to watch outside of the obvious, obviously there's people like Pirlo. Everyone knows Balotelli. Who would you earmark as two of the younger generation of players that we're going to see for the future that are really going to make an impact at this tournament?
Mattia De Siglio, the outside back. A lot of people are calling him the next Paolo Maldini. I'm not going to go that far, but
yeah, that's a good statement.
The young Milan outside back is, I think he's got an incredible future. He's one of those Italians called predestinato.
Yeah.
Predestined greatness.
Yeah.
And then Marco Verratti, I think he'll get, especially with Riccardo Montolivo out of the reckoning, I think Verratti will get a chance to shine. He's very much, and I always hesitate to compare players like this, but he's the closest Italy's got to the Pirlo mold, except he's a bit more dynamic, but he's younger, but he's a bit more dynamic. He's got
the young legs at the moment.
He also is a bit more aggressive. He's got an annoying habit of picking up stupid yellow cards, but hopefully this tournament he doesn't do anything stupid and is able to, with this the older generation guiding him, keep his head.
Hopefully
his passing ability is brilliant.
Yeah,
great.
But yeah, De Siglio and Verratti are my two picks for players to watch for Italy.
Take down those names. You will see them here at this tournament and probably many to come. Thank you so much, Aaron. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure to be here.
We will chat with you again soon. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.